Turn your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. We'll be reading verses 14 through verse 16 this morning. If you're here just getting familiar with your Bible, New Testament starts with Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. And so we'll be in the book of Acts this morning. Chapter 24, verses 14 through 16. If you found Acts chapter 24, if you please stand with me in honor of reading God's Word this morning. Acts chapter 24, beginning verse number 14. I'll read the even verses, verses 14 and 16. You'll join with me on the odd verse number 15 this morning. Acts chapter 24, starting verse number 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both the just and unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscious void of offense toward God and toward men. And let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the reading of your word, the opportunity we have to open up your book this morning on, as we've said, Resurrection Day. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless the special prepare our hearts for the message. Lord, we need you this morning. We're a needy people. And Lord, I pray you pour that fresh oil of anointment upon our preacher, and Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would do his work this morning. Well, thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
I've enjoyed the music from the choir and the specials and the offertory, all centered around the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to speak to you from verse 15 this morning. We read there with Mike a moment ago, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And so I want to speak this morning, and Brother Greg, I hear myself out there, but not as well up here. Just a tad bit on the monitors will help my voice. Everybody is getting up, all right? Now, everybody is not together. It's not a compound word. Everybody is getting up. I'm talking about this body right here. Everybody is getting up on that great getting up morning, okay? Talking about the resurrection today. So let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts and then we'll jump into this passage, and hopefully the Lord will help us. Our Father, we're grateful today for your book. Without your power, though, helping us at this time, it won't do us any good. So would you please come and speak through us and to us, and Lord, minister to us as only you can. Thank you for every guest here today, visitor, first-timer, those that have returned, and our regular members. Lord, may all of our hearts be in tune to your Spirit. May He fill us and help us and speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. And amen. Brother Brian Sharp, he'll be here this week, by the way, and he'll be preaching. I forget what time slot he has, but he'll be preaching. He has taken many groups of people to tour the land of Israel, the place where Jesus walked. Now, these tours usually last about 8 to 10 days, if I remember right. And he sends out email updates during his trips to the Holy Land, and he kind of gives an update on a daily basis as to that day's activities, where they've been and what they've seen and what they've done. And I'm on Brother Sharp's email list, so I get his emails and I receive those updates. Every time he writes about the day that they visit the empty tomb, it literally gives me chill bumps, because his email is always full of joy. It's always full of rejoicing and full of excitement. And sometimes he'll write about a person on the tour who is seeing the empty tomb for the first time. And he said, there's nothing like it. When you walk into that garden and you come to the place where they say was the tomb of Jesus, and you look in there and you see with your own two eyes that tomb is empty, he said, it just absolutely changes. It just does something unbelievably for you. And it always touches my heart to read about it when Brother Sharp writes about it in his email. And the truth of the matter is, the empty tomb of Jesus Christ does bring joy to the child of God. Now, it's what the Christian world is celebrating today. And certainly we are grateful, thankful for the fact that Jesus Christ, now watch it, rose bodily from the tomb after He had died on the cross and shed His blood to pay our sin debt. After 3 days and three nights of it being in that tomb, He walked out victorious, alive, over death, sin, and the grave. What a blow to the old head of Satan. Amen. What a blow. The devil thought he had Jesus, but Satan could not keep Jesus in that tomb. And out he came. And what a blow to Judaism and the Jewish religious leaders, because they thought that putting Jesus to death and burying him would be the end of his story and silence his followers and shut all the talk about Jesus being the Son of God, do away with all the hubbub, you know, out of sight, out of mind. Boy, did that ever backfire. Amen. Brother, when he came out of that grave, I mean, the town was filled with the talk that the Son of God, his tomb was empty. Now, that's what we're talking about today, celebrating today, remembering, commemorating today. But there's something else that I want to mention this morning along the lines of the resurrection, and a little bit different train of thought, but nonetheless about the resurrection. And Paul mentions it here in the verses that we read. Now, let me give you the setting for Acts 24. In this chapter, you have the account of a hearing that took place in front of the Roman governor Felix. Okay, now, on the prosecuting side, you've got Ananias, the Jewish high priest, and you've got Tertullus. He is the appointed spokesman, if you will, the appointed maybe prosecuting attorney, if you want to put it that way, representing the high priest and the Jewish elders. On the defense side, you have the Apostle Paul. He's by himself. He's representing himself. And he is in trouble. He is accused of insurrection. He is accused of causing a riot. But really, the bottom line of the whole thing is found in verse number 14, where he says, if you got your Bible, look at it. He said, this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. He said, the way that I worship God is referred to as heresy by these Jewish priests and these Jewish elders. It's referred to as heresy. He said, that's the bottom line. And then he said this. He said, you know what? I believe all things written in the law. Look at it. Believing all things which are written in the law. And he said, I believe all things which are written in the prophets. Well, what's written in the law? What's written in the prophets? He goes on in verse number 15 to tell us what is written in the law and written in the prophets. Look at it. That there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. You say, this is a reference to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's already happened. That's already taken place. This is some years after the fact, okay? This is about maybe 25 to 30 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, it's written in the law and it's written in the prophets that there shall be a resurrection from the dead. Future tense. In the future, there shall be a resurrection of the dead. Now, I want to talk about that resurrection that Paul's talking about this morning. I want to make three statements about it, and we'll close up the service. First of all, I want you to see, as he said, there shall be a resurrection of the dead. Now, folks, you mark it down. There will be a resurrection of all the dead. I'm talking about all that have died since the beginning of time as we know it. All people who have died are going to be resurrected. From the beginning, people have preached and people have taught that there will be a resurrection from the dead of all people who have died. It is found over and over and over again throughout the Old Testament, in the books of the law and in the books of the prophets and in the history books. It's mentioned over and over. Not once. Now look, if the Bible mentions something one time as being true, it's true. But when the Bible mentions something over and over and over again, friend, you mark it down. That is an emphasis. Jesus, God is making a point. He's drawing attention to the fact that there is going to be a resurrection from the dead of all people from the beginning of time who have died. Jesus spoke of this truth in the New Testament as well. John chapter 5 and verse 28. He said, listen, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice and shall come forth. Now that's from the lips of Jesus Christ Himself. All the hour is coming, the time is coming in the future, when all who are in the graves shall hear His voice and shall come forth. Understand, people, what I'm talking about this morning, the very body in which you and I live today will someday be resurrected from the grave. If the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come back soon and we die, which is the way of all men, the way of all people, okay? I heard about a lady yesterday, 105 years of age when I was out visiting. 105, but there are very few who live to be that old, that age in life, okay? If Jesus doesn't come, all of us are going to go by way of the grave. And there's going to come a day when this body is going to come up out of the grave. You say, well, but Pastor, wait a minute. I'm going to be cremated and my ashes are going to be spread over the ocean or over the top of some mountain range somewhere. So I don't see how my body can be resurrected. Well, friend, let me remind you that the first man was created from the dust of the ground. God took a scoop of dust in His hands, created man, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul, a life soul. And if God can do it one time, He can do it a second time. It won't take much for God to put a body back together. Now, you mark it down, friend. Listen, listen very carefully. This idea, the idea that we live in this life and we die and that's the end, it's all over. The idea that this is all there is to this, and when this is over, it's all done, that is a lie. There shall be a resurrection of the dead. Now listen, at death, the soul leaves the body. The soul is life. Okay, again, God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and man became a living soul, a life soul. You're not like an animal. I'm sorry, animal lovers, but when the animals die, that's it. All right? And will there be animals in heaven? Yes, but they won't be your horse or your dog. And definitely not your cat, okay? All right, won't be in heaven. But we are different, okay? We are different. We are living souls. We're living souls, okay? That's how God made us. Now watch it. At death, life leaves the body. What does that mean? At death, the soul leaves the body. Are you with me? At creation, when God breathed into Adam the breath of life, he became a living soul, a life soul. Now Adam dies. His soul leaves his body. At death, life, or the soul, leaves the body. At the resurrection, body and soul are joined again. At death, the soul leaves the body and resides in one of two places, heaven or hell. The Bible talks of no other place of eternal abode other than heaven or hell. And so at death, the soul leaves the body. Life soul leaves the body. Now the body is lifeless, put in the grave. The soul goes to one of two places to live forever, either in heaven or hell. At the resurrection, body and soul are joined again. Listen, there would be no sense in bringing a body up from the grave if it were not going to be reunited with the soul. So bodies are brought up from the grave and reunited with the soul. That means the souls that are in heaven, when the resurrection takes place, their body is going to be reunited with their soul in heaven. And friend, as much as I hate to say it, for those who are in hell, for those whose life soul left their body and reside in the place of torment apart from God, the body is joined together and reunited with that soul in the place called hell. Now, I don't have time this morning to go into all I'd like to say about this resurrection. This resurrection will be broken down into different parts and times. Not everybody is going to be resurrected at the same time. I don't have time to get into all that. But the thing that I want you to know today, there is going to be a resurrection from the dead for all people. That's what the Bible says over and over again. And Paul nailed it here in verse 15, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead. Everybody is getting up. Every human body is getting up. From Adam and Eve all the way down through our current time this morning. To those who passed away in the last two or three days and whose bodies are buried, every body is getting up. There shall be a resurrection from the dead. Now, the second thing I want to say about that this morning is this. There are only two groups of people. Did you see it there in verse 15? Paul said that there shall be a resurrection of the dead. Now, watch it. Both of the just and the unjust. So Paul said this resurrection, different times and different places, this resurrection that's going to happen to everybody that's buried, everybody that's cremated, everybody that where the life soul leaves the body, everybody is getting up in two groups, just or unjust. Now he said two, folks, not three, or four, or ten. He said there are two groups of people coming out of the grave, just or unjust. Not one per nationality, not one per color of skin, not one per ethnic group. Two groups of people are going to be resurrected from the grave, two kinds of folks, just and unjust. There are only two. Now let's talk about it this morning. Just and unjust. What do those words mean? Those are words that mean saved or unsaved. Synonyms for those words are righteous or unrighteous, redeemed or unredeemed. All those words mean the same thing. So they all mean the same thing. Think about it. Just. It means saved, righteous, redeemed. Unjust means unsaved, unrighteous, unredeemed. Everybody's getting up. Everybody's coming up out of the grave, but in two groups, just and unjust, saved and unsaved, righteous and unrighteous, redeemed and unredeemed. They all mean the same thing. Just, justified, washed in the blood of Jesus, forgiven, cleansed, pardoned, all because He died, was buried, and rose again on the third day. But now, wait a minute. Unjust. It's the same root word with the little prefix un, which means not. Just. Not just. Not justified. Not washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Not forgiven. Not cleansed. Not pardoned. And I'm not making that up. That's what the Bible says. Listen, just people live in heaven. Heaven is light and peace and comfort, and joy, and blessing, and God, and angels. Unjust people live in hell. darkness and war and discomfort and misery and cursing and Satan and devils. You know, no, Pastor, look, you're all wrong, man. You know, we're all living this world, and then, you know, someday everybody goes to heaven. We just call it by different things and different places, but we all end up in that heavenly place. You'll have to take the Bible and set it on fire to believe that. That is not what the Bible teaches. That is not what the good Lord taught us. God taught us that there is going to be a resurrection from the dead. Everybody is getting up, just and unjust. Everybody, two groups. You say, Pastor, that sounds like those two places are exact opposites, heaven and hell. They are, with one exception. They're totally opposite, with one exception. They both are eternal. They both are eternal. It's on and on and on and on. It's called eternity. Eternity means forever. And on, and so much so that our minds, I don't want to insult anybody's intelligence level here. There are some very sharp-minded, intelligent people, no doubt, in this room today. But our little minds, as intelligent as they may be, cannot comprehend the idea of forever and ever. And ever, and ever, and ever, and ever, and ever, and ever, and ever. But that's exactly what they are. They are eternal places. Heard a little time about to try to define it this way. If a bird, if you could take one single solitary bird and give him the task of removing every grain of sand on planet Earth, one grain at a time, and fly it to the sun. What is that, 93 million light years away? And I'm shooting from the hip. Somebody help me. Is that right? 93 million light years away from Earth. I'm sorry? 93 million miles away from... Anyway, I knew it was a long ways, okay? From Earth to sun. And 93 million. And that bird starts with one body of water, one beach somewhere, and takes one grain of sand and flies it 93 million miles and comes back to the Earth and takes another grain of sand and flies it 93 million miles. And he methodically empties the Earth of every grain of sand, one grain at a time. When he finally finished that task, eternity would just be starting. Eternal. There shall be a resurrection from the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And friend, there are only two groups of people, just and unjust. It doesn't matter, red, brown, yellow, black, and white. You can reduce all people on planet Earth down to two groups at the resurrection. Just or unjust. Saved or lost. And that's not Terry Angel's definition or opinion. That is the eternal Word of God. Just or unjust. If you believe the Bible at all, there's only two groups. Only two groups. So number one, there shall be a resurrection from the dead. Everybody is getting up. Number two, there are only two groups of people that are coming out of the grave. So number three, listen very carefully. If there's only two groups of people coming out of the grave, then how you go into the grave is important. Because how you go into the grave is how you come out. You don't go in one way and come out another. Listen, crowd, you don't go in unjust and come out just. And you don't go in just and come out unjust. We come out like we go in. Look, the life soul, now listen to me, the life soul leaves the body at death and goes to one of those two places, heaven or hell. All the body does when it comes out of the grave is join the soul in the place that the soul has been in since death. And then both groups have an appointment to stand before God. Different times and places, but to stand before God. And friend, don't you be so foolish this morning. Don't be so foolish, please, as to think that hell is non-existent just because you don't believe it. You can read Scripture after Scripture after Scripture after Scripture where Jesus Christ Himself referenced the place that the Bible calls hell or the lake of fire. He talked about it often. It was a subject. It was the subject of His discourse many times. Don't be so foolish as to say, you know what? Well, I don't care what Jesus said. I don't believe that. Friend, let me tell you something. Our unbelief in hell does not change its reality. And I, for one, believe in it. Because Jesus talked about it. The Bible talks about it. And don't think for one minute that it's some place where, you know, like a man said to me one time who I tried to win to the Lord, tried to see, urge on him the necessity of receiving Christ as his Savior. And he told me, standing in a funeral home with his godly grandmother's body just a few feet away, a dear lady who used to attend this church years and years ago, and he said to me, you know what, Pastor, I'm not going to get saved. When I die, I'm going to go to hell, and I'm going to have a big time with my friends. And I said, sir, all you did just now is reveal how ignorant about hell you really are. You say, that's an unkind thing to say to somebody. Friend, let me tell you something. Unkind? So what do? Just let them die and go to hell with no warning? Just let them have that attitude about hell and go to spend eternity there in that place forever and ever? Unkind. No, I was kind to him. I didn't yell at him. I didn't scream at him. I gave it to him just a plain, simple, factual manner. And I'm telling you this morning, listen very carefully. If only two groups of people come out of the grave, it's important how we go into the grave. Nothing's going to change after death. How we go in is how we come out. You go in just. You go in saved. You go in righteous. You're coming out just, saved and righteous. But if you go in unsaved and unrighteous and unjust, my friend, that's how you're coming out. I'm simply here to tell you this morning on this Resurrection Sunday that yes, while we are excited about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we should be, we need to all be mindful of the fact that one of these days, everybody is getting up. There's going to be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. You say, Pastor, what in the world can a person do to prepare before? See, because what needs to be done must be done before death, not after. Not after. ABC, backwards. CBA, listen carefully. What do? Choose to confess that you are a sinner. That ought not be news to you. I've never met anybody who told me I'm not a sinner. But I have met a lot of people who said I'm not that bad a sinner. Understand, friend, that God doesn't judge me versus Brother Bragg, Brother Bragg versus Luke, and Luke versus his dad. God judges us against the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when any or all of us are measured against Jesus Christ, we all come short. Everybody does. So confess that you're a sinner. Number two, choose to believe that Jesus, through His death, burial, resurrection, paid your sin debt. And He did. The Bible says when He went to that cross and hung there, He took in His own body our sins upon the tree. Did you ever stop to think about why the crucifixion was so horrible? Well, so they hated Him. They're cruel Romans. True. But I'm going to tell you why it was so horrible, friend. God was judging Jesus Christ for our sin. What happened to Jesus Christ on that cross was God's judgment on my sin. God's judgment on yours. He bled. He said, it is finished. He didn't mean, my life is over. You'll never hear from me again. No, He didn't mean that at all. What He meant was, the sin debt is paid in full. It is finished. It's done. It's settled. My death and the shedding of my blood is the only thing that God in heaven will recognize as a sacrifice for sin. Believe that. Believe that. Choose to believe that. You say, I cannot believe that. Yes, you can. The problem is not that you cannot, it's that you will not. You will not. You can believe that. The Spirit of God is speaking to some of you this morning and making an emphasis in your heart. What that man is saying from that book up there is correct. It's right. and you can believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You can believe that He died. You can believe that He was buried. You can believe that He rose again for your sin. You can believe that. C, confess that you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again to pay your sin debt. A, choose to accept Him in your heart by faith. By faith. I don't mean to offend anybody, but listen very carefully. You do not receive Jesus Christ by eating a piece of bread or taking a little glass of juice. That's not how you receive Jesus Christ, friend. Justification is by faith. Faith. We say, what do you mean, Brother Angel? Faith in what God said. What did God say? God said that if thou shalt believe in thine heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that God hath raised Him from the dead and confess with your mouth and receive Jesus and say, God, I need to be saved. Whoever calls upon the Lord shall be saved. That's what God said. Have faith in what God said. You can't go wrong believing what God said to be true. You know that. So confess. Choose to confess that you're a sinner. Choose to believe that Jesus died, buried, rose again. Choose to accept Him in your heart by faith. You say, Pastor, how do I know that Jesus has chosen me? Friend, He chose you when He died for you. Do you really need another sign? Do you need something to write it in the sky? Do you need some great big ball of information to fall out of heaven and land at your feet? What do you need? He chose you when He died. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. You've heard the little story, some of you, about the engineer and the sitting up in the little tower there. His responsibility was to switch the changing of the tracks, the intersection where the track, the railroad train would go by. You've heard that story. And how he looked out one day and the train was coming. He looked at his watch and he knew it was time to switch, throw the switch so the train wouldn't derail. He looked down there and his little son was playing right at the place on the track where the switch was going to take place. And it was hanging around those gears and everything. And he realized that if he threw the switch and changed the track, his son was going to be caught in that. His son was going to die. And the people would live. But if he chose not to throw the switch, his son would live. But all the people in that train would die. And that man threw the switch and gave his own son to die. When he threw the switch, he chose the life of everybody on that train. And I'm telling you, when Jesus died, He chose you. Now, He's just waiting for you to choose Him. Choose Him by faith this morning. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because, listen, nothing can be done once we are in the grave. Friend, this matter is settled before, not after. Before, not after. I remember the day. I chose Him. 18, life ruined, boys home, messed up, goofed up. But there, on a Wednesday night, the preacher preaches and gives the opportunity for people to be saved. And he asked the question, how many of you in the room tonight know that you're on your way to heaven? A lot of people shot their hands up. I kept my hand down. He said, some of you could not raise your hand. How many of you could not raise your hand? You don't know for sure that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. You've never been saved. I raised my hand. He gave me the opportunity to come and look for my Bible and find out how to be saved. October 1975. I'm glad I took care of that, friend. The greatest day of my life. And I want to tell you something. I don't have any idea when my life is over. None. I hope to live for another 20, 30 years if God lets me. But I know this. I am ready. Preparation has been made before, not after. You can't make it after. Some of you remember this story when I was out in Iowa. Brother Brown, there's a fellow in town. Two bachelor men lived together, brothers, Bud and Pete Smith. And Bud Smith got saved. Bud Smith trusted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. And came to church, I think. Now, I don't think he ever did come to church, but he got saved and trusted the Lord as a Savior. Not too long, sometime after that, some months later, Bud died. His brother Pete never got saved. Brother Brown witnessed to Pete. Pete, you need to get saved. At the funeral, Brother Brown gave the gospel, gave the plan of salvation, said you need to trust Christ to get that matter settled before you get to the grave. And Pete refused. And I remember one day, Andy came up about 10 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, and Andy and I went out visiting together, and he was just a teenage young man, and went out to try to talk to some people about the Lord. And God put it on my heart to go to Pete Smith's house. And I went to Pete's house, and of course, Bud's no longer there. Brother is gone. And a little old home there in Washington, Iowa. And there's a little old living room, and I'm sitting over here, me and Andy, on a small couch, and Pete's sitting over here. And I'm trying to impress upon Pete the need to be saved. And Pete, your brother got saved. And Jesus chose you when he died for you. And Pete, won't you get saved? Won't you get saved? And I never will forget what happened. He stood up from over there. I said, Pete, why don't you get saved? That's what happened. And I said, look, you have no idea how long you're going to live or when you'll die. Why won't you get saved? Why don't you get saved? He stood up from this where he was sitting, walked across the room, and he bent down close to me. I didn't know what he was going to do. He bent down real close to me, like he put his chest up against my face almost. He said, you hear that? He said, that's a pacemaker. The doctors put that in my heart a year and a half, 2 years ago, and they told me it'll last for 10 years. He walked across and sat down. I said, Pete, don't say that. Don't say that. He would not get saved. That was Tuesday. Friday morning, I'm in the office, maybe Thursday. John Monk from Jones Funeral Home calls at the church. I'm there. I take the call. Brother Terry, this is John Monk from Jones Funeral. Hey, John, how you doing? I'm doing fine. How doing good. He said, listen, we have a person that's passed away. I think probably you folks did one of the family members' services, and he needs somebody to do the service. I said, who died? He said, Pete Smith. Stunned me. Pete, 48 hours ago, I stood in that guy's house. 48 hours ago, I begged him to receive Christ. 48 hours. He's gone. I don't know how Pete went to the grave. Just or unjust, maybe between Tuesday and Thursday, Friday, maybe he got saved. I don't know. But I know this. However he went in, that's how he's coming out. I know that. Are you saved? Because there shall be a resurrection. Every body is getting up. Everybody. Only two groups. And how we go in is how we come out. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Listen very carefully now. Please don't shut me off. We're fixing to be done. But would you just lend me your ear? This is exactly what the preacher did the night that I got saved. I'll follow his format exactly. I wonder this morning how many folks in this room would say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. Now let me ask you to do one thing right now. Would you please be honest? Would you just please be honest before God? Just please be honest before God. Pastor, I know that I'm saved. I know there's been a time when I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm on my way to heaven. I know that. I know that I'm saved. If you can say that this morning, would you slip your hand in the air just as a testimony that you're saved? Thank you for your honesty. Thank you. You may take your hands down. Now, this morning, maybe there's some that could not raise a hand. I appreciate your honesty. I wonder this morning, I can't see everybody. There's a lot of folks here today, and I didn't take very long to look around. I heard some hands go up, and I didn't take time to look around much. But I wonder if there's somebody here today, Pastor, I didn't raise my hand just then. Because I do not know where I'm going when I die. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know. And I didn't raise my hand just a moment ago. Would you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you. Just slip it up. I did not raise my hand with the others a moment ago because I do not know where I'm going when I die. Pray for me, Pastor Angel. I don't know that I'm saved. Just slip it up. Take it right back there. We're not talking about being a member of a church. We're not talking about being baptized. We're talking about being saved, just, righteous, redeemed, born again. Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. I didn't raise my hand a moment ago. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that here this morning, side to side? back to front. Anybody like that this morning? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Visitor member doesn't matter. Take a minute and think about it. Because how we go in is how we come out. We go in unjust, we come out unjust. We go in saved, just, we come out saved, just. Anybody here this morning, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. I didn't raise my hand a moment ago, but I'll raise it now and say, I don't know for sure. Anybody? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. All right, listen very carefully. Who's here today would say, Pastor, I'm saved, and I know it, but I have not been baptized since I've been saved. Now, I know I'm on my way to heaven, but I haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism, or I came today to be baptized and follow the Lord. Now, if that's you, you came to be baptized, why don't you come right now? While we wait, heads are bowed, we'll get a head start. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just come out of your seat right now. I know we have some that came to be baptized this morning. So if you came to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, I know some of the children are coming over from the other building. So you come on right now while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And nobody's looking. You just come up and just they'll get ready this morning. Scott and Linda will be there to help you get ready for baptism this morning. That's wonderful. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking. Anybody else? Pastor, I'm saved, but I've never been baptized since I've been saved. Anybody else like that? All right, very good. Now listen, if you're here this morning, you've been saved, baptized, you know that this is the place God wants you to be a member, you've talked to one of us about it, myself or somebody on the staff, and you want to join, this would be a great time to do that. You come at the invitation time. And again, my invitation to you this morning is this. If you're not saved, listen, 39 years ago this October, I sat in a service like this, and the pastor gave me the opportunity to come and find out how to be saved. I sure am glad I took that opportunity. In just a moment, we're going to stand. The music's going to begin to play, and some folks have already come forward for baptism. Others are coming to be dealt with. But if you're not saved, let me tell you what I did. I stepped out into the nearest aisle. I went to the front of the building, and the men showed me how to be saved. We have men that can show a man how to be saved. We have ladies, a lady that can show a lady how to be saved. The important thing is that you know you've got it taken care of before the grave. Think about it. Father in heaven, would you bless the preaching of your word this morning to our hearts? Thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you that there's going to be a resurrection future according to your word. Those that are coming out saved, justified, will go to that wonderful place called heaven. God, please help any this morning who aren't sure that they're saved to come and receive Christ as their Savior and be saved and know that that is taken care of. Please do a work, Holy Spirit, that only you can do. In Jesus' name.